One of the things that I enjoy doing when I watch a movie is I like the special features that they give you on these DVDs. Sometimes they will include on the DVD how they made the movie. I don't know if you guys enjoy that, but I love seeing behind the scenes kind of stuff. I like to see the backgrounds and how big this actor really is, and the transformation of the houses that they'll use, or whatever it is. And it's always interesting because you have the directors and the producers, they're telling their story. And they're giving their account of how all of this came to be. And the wonderful thing is with TV and DVDs and things, we can actually see it, and they show us what's happening. We don't just have to go on their word for it. And with that kind of curiosity, I think many of us approach our world. Many of us, I believe, if we take time to think about it, we look around us and we do wonder how all this came to be. How did this tree know how to produce acorns? How is it that animals can survive in some of the harshest of climates? How is it that our bodies can heal and mend themselves? All of these incredible wonders. Well, many people have wondered about that, and down through history there have been many theories and things presented as to how all of these things have come to be. The unique thing about creation is that there has only ever been one witness. We do have his account, but the sad reality is that his account is many times disregarded as a mere story or fairy tale or figurative. His story is discounted as unscientific and not worthy to be regarded as truth. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. As we continue our series looking at the foundations of life, as we look at the testimony of the one witness of creation, as we look at how God created the earth in 7 days, 6 days his work, 7th day he rested. Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read this passage for us, and I ask you, as you follow along, to ask yourself, why is it important that I embrace this as truth? Why is it important that I believe that this is literally 6 24-hour days where God made all things? Why is that important for me? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and to let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Okay, I'm done. Nice long passage, but I trust you were as fascinated as I was, because we have an incredible account here. Sequentially, from day one down to day seven, is a description from a witness of the creation of this world. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says this, Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If all we have is an account from God, an account we have in God's Word, as the only eyewitness of the beginning, it is true that we must believe this by faith. Why is this important? Why is this important for you as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a person who stands for the truth of the Word of God? Why is it important for you to embrace this passage as actually happening, as it is read straightforwardly here? I want to submit to you three things. A literal understanding of the Genesis creation account It displays God's power. It displays God's person. And it displays God's purposes. These are very important things for us as people. These are foundational to who we are. This is God's Word. And if we doubt God's Word here at the very beginning, where else are we going to doubt Him? Are we going to embrace it as truth? Are we going to embrace it as figurative or fairy tale? I want to look today, first of all, at how a literal understanding of this creation account displays God's power. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God, He has always existed. He's eternal. He was the only one here, and there was nothing else. And so from nothing came everything. From nothing, we have this world. Is that not a display of power? Now, as we think about nature and God's display of power over it, let me just remind you of a couple accounts from other passages. Do you remember Jesus in the boat? He's sleeping. His disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee. And what blows in? One of those wicked storms. And the disciples fearing for their lives. And Jesus gets up, and what does He say? Peace! Be still. And by the Word of God, it was calm. Do you believe that happened? You believe that happened. Why can't you believe that by the Word of God, God created all things? He's the same God. He is all-powerful, and He has displayed it. Other examples of God's power over the earth. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what happened? The earth shook with a violent earthquake, opening up graves. Can't God do those kinds of things with things that He's made? Things that He has had power over, things that He has designed, things that He has placed into existence, and He knows intimately everything that makes them work. What about the great flood of Noah's time? Again, another account that is doubted by modern theologians and scholars and scientists. But didn't God create water and land? And can't God use the things that He has created to do His bidding? God is powerful, dear ones. And if you doubt this account, you are doubting the very power of God. What about this one? Korah and his clan stood up against Moses, and the judgment was pronounced, and what happened? The earth opened up and swallowed Korah and the entire clan. Wow. Can that happen? Do you believe that happened? God using the earth to judge people that spoke out against Him and His leader. What about this one? Joshua. He is in battle and he calls out to the Lord, "Sun! Make the sun to stand still." What happened? The sun stood still. Do you believe the sun stood still? Doesn't it make sense that God could do this? For He designed the earth and all of its workings. He put it on its axis and He knows exactly how it rotates and spins. What about with animals? God's prophet Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. What do lions do? They eat. And they eat meat, especially if it's in a lion's den. What happened? The very testimony of Daniel is that God sent an angel to close the lions' mouths. God made them. God can control them. Elijah, he's out in the wilderness. How is he fed? He is fed by God bringing ravens. And the ravens bring him bread and meat. Where did they get the bread and the meat? Well, I don't know. How did they know where he was? I don't know. What's the answer? The only answer, dear ones, is God told them. God designed them. And God is using them for his purposes. What about the plagues of Egypt? Locusts. Why did they all of a sudden swarm Egypt? What about the quail for the Israelites in the wilderness? Where did they all come from? Why didn't they make it hard and run away? What about, interesting story, not talked about much, but remember those two female bears when Elisha was being mocked and he was being called bald? And God brought two female bears to destroy those 42 children? Brutal. But God used bears. The bear. Dear ones, God is powerful. And he has shown and displayed his power all throughout the scriptures and all through creation. And even today, we see incredible things taking place in creation. You see the intricate design of the butterfly. Have you ever studied the workings of a honeybee? Have you ever went and witnessed the power of a great waterfall and its majesty and its beauty? Did you know that God's voice is described as the voice of many waters? God, in Genesis chapter 11, he had the power to confuse men's languages. God designed man with a voice, with a language. He could also take and confuse it and make many. Listen to this passage, and I know I will nowhere near get done today, but we'll divide it up 2 weeks. Isaiah, listen to this. Isaiah chapter 40. And what a passage. This is a beautiful passage, but I just want to give you a portion of it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Dear ones, creation, as recorded for us in the book of Genesis, we have the eyewitness accounts of God himself, because we do believe this to be God's word. God is declaring to us a very straightforward account of his power. He displayed here a power that has no equal. A power that took nothing and made all things. We are about out of time. But we'll continue our study next time. But I want to encourage you to look at this chapter and take it literally and ask yourself, what am I learning about God here? You take this passage and you embrace it and say, you know what? I'm going to believe by faith, because that's what you got to do. We can't reproduce this in a laboratory. We've got to believe by faith that what God's word and God's account here is true. And we see all through it God's power. Do you realize, and you probably noticed this, but did you see how many of the verbs have to do with God? God said this. God did this. That's because God is a God of infinite power and ability. Next time we're together, we're going to look at how this is important, how it displays God's person, who He is, His character, and also how it displays His purposes, His plans, all intertwined in this first chapter of Genesis, a foundation upon which the rest of the Bible is laid. Do you realize that as you look at this and you embrace all of nature and all of who we are as a result of God's power, that you will begin to look at creation and look at one another differently? Because you are looking at a creation of God, a result of the power of God at work. And therefore, we are drawn to give Him praise. A passage that I will probably share with you again, but I will use it to close our time together and prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper this morning. But the Apostle Paul wrote in the letter to the Ephesians, and you just listen to this. I'll give you the reference, Ephesians 3:14 through 21. But I want you to listen to this. In fact, if you want to close your eyes and just meditate on these words. Apostle Paul writing, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Oh God, I pray that You would plant deep within us a faith and a belief in Your almighty power. For yes, indeed, Lord, Your word tells us of many things that You have done that goes beyond our human comprehension. But Lord, we believe them to be true, and we embrace You as an almighty God who is able to do those kinds of things. And in fact, this world is a result of Your almighty power. God, build in our lives these foundations of life, that we might stand upon them, its firm footing. For this world attacks these foundations. Our culture speaks against them. Lord, I pray that you would encourage and challenge your people to embrace these things as true. Strengthen our faith, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.